It's good to see everybody here, those who I personally know and those who I don't. I hope that after the service, I get to at least say hello to you and welcome you personally. Can I just say something? We love you. We love you, and we're praying for you. Even if we've never met, this church is praying for this community. Amen? And we've been praying for homes and streets and different places throughout the 14621 neighborhoods. We are committed. We are praying that the Lord will bless you and bless all of us in special ways. Amen? And so let's prepare our hearts to hear what God has to say to us. I believe he has something to say to you today. Everybody repeat after me. Say, I believe God has something for me today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we believe that. We believe that you have something for us today. You have a word of encouragement. You have a healing touch. You have a receptive ear that you hear us, Lord. Thank you, God, that your presence is in this place already. I thank you for every person that's here. You love them. They matter to you. You gave your life for them. We thank you this morning. We declare that our minds are alert and our ears are open and our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us today. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So once again, God bless you and thank you for being here today. I believe God has allowed us to gather here for a special reason. There is something that God wants to do in this community and in this city. There's something that God wants to do in this neighborhood, in your street and my street. Amen? But there is also something that God wants to do in your life today. And I want us to make this declaration together. Everybody repeat after me. Say, the change begins with me. Say that. Say it one more time. The change begins with me. It begins with me. Hallelujah. Something has to happen inside of me before it can happen in my family. Something has to happen inside of me before it can happen in my community. The change begins with me. And there was a group of people many years ago that transformed the world. They were minorities in their nation. If you're a minority here today, you're in good company. They were minorities in their nation. They did not have all the power and prestige in their cities and communities, but they practiced certain things. There were certain things that they did. They gave their lives to certain things, and in turn, their devotion to those things, those few things, and we're going to talk about what those are in a moment. In turn, their devotion to those things allowed them to bring transformation to the world. Everyone say transformation.
Transformation.
Those people were called, some people call them followers of the way. Other people called them derogatory names. They insulted them because they were just strange. In those days, people worshipped hundreds and thousands of different gods. There was a god of fertility and a god of the harvest and the god of the sun and the god of the moon. They worshipped all kinds of gods. But these peculiar people had declared to themselves and to the people around them and to anyone who would listen that they believed there was only one God. And that he was the creator, and he was the one to be worshipped. So the community back then called these followers of the way, they called them atheists. They said, you guys are atheists because you don't believe in all of our gods. They say, no, we believe in one God. They were called, finally, Christians, little Christs. They formed the first church, and that group of people ended up changing the world. Amen? Everyone say again, the change begins with me. This group of men and women were devoted to certain things, and they gave their lives to these things. But before we go on this morning talking about what they devoted themselves to, I will ask, what are you devoting your life to? What is the future that awaits you, your family, and your community, listen, because of what you are devoted to? Some people are devoted to the wrong things. Some people live their lives devoted to the bottle. You know anyone like that? Some people, can we be real, by the way, this morning? Is that okay? So just so that you know, for those of you who don't know me, I like to be real. Here's why I like to be real. I had a loved one, a close person to me. She was my late wife some years ago. She passed away tragically. And I tell you that to tell you this. Here's what I believe. I believe that today is the day of salvation. I believe that tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. I lost my dear wife at the time, my late wife, in the hospital. We were giving birth. As I held her, her life went from this planet to be with God. And so when I talk to you about some of these things, I'm talking to you from a conviction that I believe this day, this moment matters. Sometimes we live our entire lives saying, next year we'll get to that. 5 years from now, we'll fix that. Eventually, I'll love my kids. Eventually, I'll start treating my wife like she deserves. Eventually, I'll start figuring out what in the world I'm doing with my finances. Eventually, I'll figure it out someday. But here's what I believe. I believe that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Today is a good day to get close to God. Amen? That's what I believe from my heart. Hallelujah. The scriptures say about these people, these peculiar people that transformed their world, but it started with them, that they devoted themselves, they gave themselves to certain things. And here's what the scripture says. They devoted themselves, and you have, if you have the fill-ins, it should have been on your seats. If you have the fill-ins for the sermon, it should be right in front of you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We shared a few weeks ago that a devotion to the apostles' teaching was a devotion to God's word. And that's the first fill-in there. It's a devotion to God's word. If you don't have a fill-in for the sermon, just raise your hand. We'll make sure we get one to you. Anybody need that? Yep, a couple of them here. Okay, so fill-ins for the sermons. There's some extras here. Great. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. A devotion to the apostles' teaching was a devotion to God's word. Everyone say God's word. We also shared last week that a devotion to fellowship, so these people, these world changers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And a devotion to fellowship was a devotion to each other. Was a devotion to each other. Amen? That's the next feeling. Remember, last week we ended the service with a song. We don't always end the service with a song, but we did last week. The song went like this: I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. And then we finish together by saying, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. And here's the deal. None of us are going to make it alone. Amen. I need you and you need me. None of us are going to make this life work by ourselves. A devotion to fellowship was a devotion to each other. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about a devotion to the breaking of bread and what that means for us and for our community. Anybody in the house like bread? Anybody like bread? I love bread, especially nice warm bread. Hallelujah. I don't mean to make you hungry this morning. Praise God. I'm amazed at what happens inside of me when, for example, when I'm really hungry, right? And I have just ordered a meal from Panera Bread. Pastor, why are you eating a Panera Bread? I'm trying to be healthier, okay? Help me out. Pray for me. So I just ordered a meal from Panera Bread, and I might get a soup and a salad if I'm really good that day. But they have these wonderful little dinner rolls, which I love. They have a baguette. I'm not too big on that. But they have these dinner rolls that are a lot more filled with calories. Praise God. And I love them. And it's amazing what happens. And every time that I'm like, okay, this is the last thing. I eat dinner rolls as like dessert. They're like dessert, and I'm like, oh, these dinner rolls. And it's wonderful when we're with a family, my kids have eaten their meal, and so, you know, and things are going around, or we're in the car or something, and I have the dinner roll. Daddy, can I have a piece of your dinner roll? What? No! I'm not giving you my dinner roll. I love this thing. I don't like it when they do that. I'm not really at that moment, interested in sharing with them. I'm finally going to get this bread that I love. I've saved it for the last thing because it's what I love. And someone wants me to share it with them. This reminds me, and I'm going to pull up a clip here in a second, Jason, just so you're right. That clip from that should be in the schedule. I'm finally going to get pizza, and someone wants me to share it with them. It reminds me of a scene from an old movie where a guy who is poor steals some bread. He and his companion are hungry, and they are finally free to be able to enjoy their bread. And here's what happens. Could you go ahead and play that? It should be right there on the schedule. Here's what happens in that clip. It's a clip from a movie that you should know. There you go. Can you get these buttons?
Peace.
so that'd be great. That's a beautiful thing, right? The Bible says that if I want to change the world, I have to adapt and change my natural selfish way, right? Like we're like the little Abu. No, I want it for me. And be more like Aladdin in that clip. Be more like the early church champions who were committed to breaking the breaking of bread. And here's one of the next villains here. A devotion to breaking bread is a devotion to generosity. Generosity. Everyone say generosity. Generosity. It's not wrong to want or need bread, by the way. In fact, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and he said for us to pray a very simple prayer. Give us this day our daily
bread.
Our daily bread. Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But our attitude and devotion should be like the early church champions, should be like Aladdin in that moment. It should not be like Daddy when he doesn't want to share his dinner roll with the kids. The scripture says in Acts 2, verse 46, every day, these people, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We're talking about practices, things that men and women were devoted to that ended up changing the world. Amen? And maybe if you and I start practicing some of the same things that they did, maybe we'll start changing in our hearts and we'll start changing our families and maybe the world around us can be better. Amen? That's what we're praying for today. They ate with glad and sincere hearts. Literally, to break is to separate or cause to separate into pieces. That's one of your fill-ins there. Into pieces. And as a result, usually of a blow, a shock, or a strain. Usually, and again, the fill-in is pieces. It's to separate or cause to separate into pieces as a result of a blow, shock, or strain. Usually, breaking is not something we look forward to doing. Nobody wants to break a bone. Nobody wants their TV broken, especially during football season. Amen? Nobody wants their house broken into, right? But in this case, the early church champions broke bread on purpose. They would take a piece of bread like this, and I brought a piece of bread here this morning. I'm going to try not to make too much of a mess. We do have a second service today, so I can't just make a huge mess. But this wonderful piece of bread is from the bakery next door. Amen? And this will go to the highest bidder. I'm just kidding. But there's bread. So they were, here's the deal. They were devoted to taking this piece of bread like this. And instead of eating it all, which of course I've never done before, hallelujah, that's not true. At some point in my life, many, many years ago, last week, this week, right? We take a piece like this, which normally, if we're hungry, man, we want to eat the whole thing. But instead of that,
they would do this. They would take it, and instead of just having it for themselves, these early church champions recognize that I have this, and I can just bless myself, right? But instead of doing that, I'm going to break it. And now what was one, now is what?
Two.
It's two.
So now if the blessing is not just for me, but it's for someone else. It's for someone else. It's for you and for me. But they didn't just stop there. They said, hey, wait a second. We can continue this process and not just bless one other person, but we can break the bread again. And now, how many pieces? There's three pieces. And so on, and so on, and so forth. They were committed not just to eating the whole thing for themselves. Look, in this life, when we watch TV and what the world tells us is, you need to get as much as you can for you. You need to get yours and protect it with your life. You need to fight for what's yours. But Christians, the followers of the way, who were early on called atheists, we're saying, no, we're going to change the way that we are. We're going to take from what we have. We're going to break bread together. We're going to invite people into our homes. A devotion to breaking bread is a devotion to generosity. Amen?
Amen.
It's a devotion to generosity.
God desires that we share from what we have. That's the next filling. God desires that we share from what we have. And you say, but Pastor, I ain't got a lot. And here's the deal. God doesn't desire for you to share of what you don't got. I know that's not right, by the way. Right? You can't give what you don't have, but God is calling you to share of what you have. Somebody, people oftentimes will come and they'll say, Pastor, I'm not tithing right now. I'm struggling with money. But here's the deal. When I become rich, I will give a tithe to the church. And you know what I found? Is that if I'm not, if a tithe is 10%, so just work with me, I'll do a little bit math. This is as complicated as my math gets, so bear with me, okay? If I earn $10, 10% of that $10 is how much? It's $1. And here's what I found with my heart, not yours, this is me. If I am not willing to give $1 out of my 10, you know what happens when what I actually get is 100 and I have to give 10 out of 100? Well, that's 10 bucks. That's a lunch or two. Maybe, you know, God, I'm at 100 right now, Pastor, but eventually when I get 1,000, I'm 100. What? I'm not giving 100. Are you with me? What? So here's the deal. God desires that we share from what we have. Now, I use tithe as an example, but listen, that's just a small example. With your people, share out of your time, share out of your resources, share what you have. You say, hey, my car is not the nicest, but at least it's a car, it's something. Share with what we have. Today, we are sharing with our community, with our neighbors, with you loved ones, many of you. We're sharing our Thanksgiving baskets. Why? Because God's called us to share from what we have. And God has blessed us with the ability to be a blessing to this community. Amen? I mean, how crazy would it be if we took all the turkeys and all the baskets and said, hey, we got food here to last us for a very long time. But we would only be blessing us. God wants us to be bread breakers. Amen? Bread breakers. Hallelujah. Something that was whole and primarily for one person, we break it so that more than one person can share, participate, and partake. And some people live their entire lives trying to hold on to everything that they can, always trying to get more. Listen, that life is exhausting. Some people live with open hands of generosity and have come to realize that living a life of generosity is an amazing way to live. By breaking bread and sharing of their resources, sharing of their abundance, when we break bread, listen, when we share with someone else, we participate in life with that person. We're engaging in life with them. There's an interesting story in the Bible where thousands of people are starving. And after coming to hear Jesus speak, they are now famished. And Jesus asked his disciples to feed them. There was thousands of people. Anybody know how many disciples there were? 12 disciples. And Jesus says, hey, there's thousands of people. Why don't you go ahead and feed them? The problem was they didn't have any food, and a little boy was there who was willing to share the little bit that he had, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The disciples brought that to Jesus, and here's what happened. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. This is Jesus. Then he, Jesus, gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I want you to notice, this is Luke 9, 16 and 17. You have that in your notes there. Notice what Jesus does. He gives thanks for what he has, and then Jesus does something interesting. He breaks the bread and the fish. He breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples, and they in turn feed the thousands of people that were there. A devotion to breaking bread is a devotion to generosity. God desires that we trust him to provide. God desires that we trust him to provide. Sometimes we're afraid to give of what we have because, well, if I give this, then I won't have it anymore, right? But do you know what? The most blessed people I know, the people that are more abundant in their life are the people that are givers, are the people that are willing to give. There's a scripture that says, give, and it shall be given unto you. There's another story in which we see a glimpse of the battle between good and evil. Jesus, the Son of God, in the desert. The Bible says that the devil himself showed up to tempt Jesus. Jesus versus the devil. Are you with me? In a desert. It's a battle royal. The first shot fired in this battle is a fascinating one. The scripture says that the tempter came to him and said, this is Matthew 4:3, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become what? To become bread. Bread. This is interesting to me. Something about bread is so universally appealing especially after a time of fasting and when you're hungry, that it's the first thing that the enemy tries to tempt Jesus with. I would encourage you to find out for yourselves what happened in that battle. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 4. But here's what I want to emphasize today. Bread is appealing to us all. We all need it. There's something countercultural when instead of choosing to hoard and keep for ourselves all the bread we can, we choose to be like the early church champions and break bread. It goes against our instincts sometimes, but a devotion to it is a devotion to generosity. Another time in the Bible, this is a really interesting story. The Apostle Paul went to an event. The scriptures say this about that event. It's found in Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to do what? To break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Anybody want to try that out? Preacher preaching until midnight. Hallelujah. Some of you, yeah, preacher, you got about 5 minutes, actually. And here's the interesting thing that happens. He's preaching. He went to this place to break bread with people. He was going to share the message of Jesus and eat and have a meal with these people. And while he's teaching, while he's preaching, this kid is sitting in the windowsill, and he gets a little tired. He gets a little sleepy. I know that, praise God, those of you who are guests, that never happens here, by the way. No one ever gets sleepy during my sermons. Hallelujah, I'm just kidding. It's okay. We never know what the night before was for people. So God bless you, those of you who are tired today. But this kid was really tired. He was sitting in the windowsill, right? He was sitting in the corner, and there were three stories high. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. Or just sharing about God's goodness. He was just sharing about Jesus. He was just sharing. And this kid was just getting a little tired. And eventually, he fell asleep. And the Bible says, you know what happened? This is in the Bible. He fell out of the window. Three stories. How many know that that's a big fall? Amen? He falls three stories. He falls, and the Bible says he falls. And it was a really bad fall. And he literally died. Now, that's a tragic thing, right? Everybody kind of stopped. They ran downstairs and said, I think his name was Eutychus or something like that. Don't name your kids that, okay? But anyway, there he is. He's on the ground. He's just fallen three stories. And Paul comes over and prays for him. And the Bible says that God touches that boy. Boom! He comes back to life. His bones were fixed up. Everything that, you know, when you fall three stories, that's a big fall. Everything was restored. He was healed immediately. And he was brought back to life. It was an amazing thing. Look at what happens after that moment. If I were that in that moment, I would have been like, man, this kid just resurrected from the dead. This is amazing. This is an amazing miracle. Let's just rejoice right here. What are we going to do? Watch what happens. Acts 20, verse 11 and 12 says, then he, meaning Paul, after he had prayed for this kid come back to life, he went upstairs again and what? Broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive. Everyone say alive. And were greatly comforted. And here's just a couple of thoughts concerning that. It's an incredible story. But a devotion to breaking bread is a devotion to generosity. God desires that we pursue it. Pursue. That's the next word. Pursue it. That we maintain after. We pursue it despite our circumstances. This practice was so important. They didn't just stop everything. They were devoted to being generous with one another. And also, God desires that we share both physical food and spiritual food. They weren't just eating there, but Paul was sharing about the wonders of Jesus. Finally, the people that were fed in the first story about the little boy with the bread and fish, they soon afterwards were looking for Jesus. They have a fascinating interaction with Jesus. It says that when they found him on the other side of the lake, these are the people that were fed with 5,000, the 5,000 that were fed with bread and fish. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. I'm almost done here. Give me 2 more minutes. They asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, listen, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus was saying, you're looking for me, not because of what I can truly give you, but you just want more food. Jesus recognizes that they were looking for him because he had filled them with physical bread. Some people are looking for Jesus simply to fill their fleshly needs, their regular needs. The story goes on with Jesus saying, "Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And eventually, they ask him for a sign. They ask Jesus for a sign. And here's what Jesus says. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is the bread of life. Today, we at Heart and Soul together with you are committed to breaking bread together, to being people of generosity, amen? People who share with each other. We are committed to that. We believe that a devotion to it is a devotion to being generous. God's all about that. But we also realize that if we broke physical bread only with you and never shared about the true bread from heaven, it would be a tragedy. Jesus is the bread of life who generously offers us eternal life. He offers us eternal life. He is the bread of life, and he generously offers us eternal life. The Bible says that Jesus came to this world, and he lived a perfect life, and eventually he ended up on the cross of Calvary. And there, this bread of life, listen to this, this bread of life there, he, on the way there, he was whipped, he was beaten, eventually he was crucified. They put nails on his hands and his feet, and they hurt him, they pierced his side. Listen, the bread of life was broken. His body was broken. It did not remain whole, but the body of Jesus was broken. And it was broken because he wanted to give you life and to give other people life around the nations and in Africa and in Europe and in Asia and in South America and in this wonderful country. He wanted to give us all life. Jesus is the bread of life who gives us eternal life. In front of you, most of you have connection cards in front of you. And simply my invitation today is this. Are you committing or recommitting your life to Christ today? Have you accepted and embraced this bread of life for yourself? I want you to let us know by putting that on the connection card. If you're here today, you say, "Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I need people to stand with me and walk with me." Today, you can join a small group. There are small groups all over the church, and we'd love to get you connected. Are you interested in beginning to serve or start sharing the love of God? We would love to do that. Next week, after the second service, there's a potluck. For those of you who return for the second time next week, we also have a tasty gift for you next week as well. Are you open to the bread of heaven? He wants to give you what no one else can, eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We are open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name.